Father, we just truly thank you this morning for who you are, what you've always been and what you always will be, the God of this universe. We thank you, Father God, that you're with your children at this given time, leading, guiding, and directing us in the way that you would have us to go, not the way the world would have us to go. We thank you, Father God, for the Godhead, your Son, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, the angelic host, the great cloud of witnesses. We thank you, Father, for all these who are looking down through the portals of heaven and encouraging us to go forth, undaunted by the sins and cares of this world, to do the perfect work that you've called us to do. We thank you, Father God, for your anointed musicians. We thank you, Father God, for your people who have yielded themselves to you. Take up their cross daily, no matter what it bears, and go forth and give you honor and give you glory. I thank you, Father, that you're here in this sanctuary today. I thank you, Father God, that you're lifting this COVID law that they put in place. I thank you, Father God, it's not your law, and you're lifting it. I thank you, Father God, that we'll walk in freedom once again. And Father, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I think it was this morning God gave me a prophetic word about this COVID. Well, he called it, this pandemic has turned into a war between good and evil, or dark and light. I don't know how he put it. And if you really look at what's going on around about you, that's exactly what's going on. That's exactly what's happening. And I had Brother Chris send out the article about where in one state, every Christian has to be registered. Now, this has gone a little bit too far, and I know that God is not pleased with this, and I hope you're not getting used to what they call the norm. This is definitely not the norm, and I know that when I was sitting there praising and worship, God said that greater disaster is going to come across the land because we are preparing for the second coming of His Son, Jesus. But He's going to be with us no matter what comes across the land. All right, God wants to. God said, "Get ready for the glory drop." All right, and this is God speaking. No one has seen this glory that is coming. Absolutely no one. Those who have lived outside the light will weep and wail when they see this glory that is coming upon all of the land. I have been speaking about this event for decades, and now is the exact time for this event to occur. This is happening the same way the birth of my Son occurred. I spoke of His birth from the beginning, and finally when it came, so many were caught off guard, and they did not know how to react. They were in a state of frenzy, and they ran to and fro, trying to deny this was the Messiah. The same is true today. The peoples will once again run to and fro and say all manner of evil about the miraculous that comes with my glory, but that does not make my glory, of none effect. As God spoke this, if you really look back over the years, every time there's a great move of God, there was always a naysayers. Always those that came on the scene saying this isn't God and, this is demonstration of the devil and this and that and the other. Well, God is saying here the same is going to happen whenever this great glory drops. So you're going to have to be steadfast in your walk with God, and you're not going to be able to compromise, say, doesn't exist. When God drops His glory in all of its fullness, whatever He brings with it is real. And you can't back down when people try to talk you out of it being real. You have to stay steadfast in all of your ways. God said, I have been speaking for years now of what would happen if you were not in the river when my glory fell, but all too many did not believe or thought I was speaking foolish nonsense. But they are about to see for themselves that I was wooing them into my arms, but they would have none of it. Now it is too late. I have separated the sheep from the goats, and I am prepared to send my glory onto the sheep, and they will carry this bright light of my glory to this lost and dying generation. You know, church has been playing church so long that they really believe they're right. You know, they don't understand the wrong and what they're doing in God's house and how they live their everyday life. They think that that's the way it's supposed to be. But God's been trying to bring change into our lives. And I know a lot of you sitting here, you've allowed God to change you. But God's been trying to bring the change into our life that's preparing us for this great glory drop. Now, if you didn't allow God to change you and rearrange you, then the glory's not going to fall on you. He's not going to kill you with his glory. He's just going to bypass you. So when you see other church members who are out there doing things that you are not, you know, is not right, it's, you know, your job not to agree with them that they're right, but in love, try to let them see that what they're doing is wrong and prove it by the word, right? And we can't compromise our walk with God. You know, we know what the word says, and I don't care what the world's, all right, let's just take homosexuality. I don't care what the world is saying about that, that it's right. God's word said it's wrong, does it not? And that's what we stand on God's word. If we don't stand on God's word all the time, then we might as well quit standing on it at all. We just can't pick and choose what we stand on in the word. It's either all true or it's all false. There's no in-between. There's no mixture in God's word. And this is where, I'm just hearing God say, this is where the body of Christ has failed, because they're afraid to speak their convictions. They're afraid of what people would think or say. You know, you can't have, that's fear, right? And you can't have fear in your walk with God. You just can't. How many of you have been really tested lately about the way you think, in the way you deal with everyday life? Aren't people trying to get you to sort of lower your bar, your standards a little bit? You can't do that. And I had to do that. Nope, that's just the way it is, and I'm not changing. And so we have to, and, you know, and I know if I'm being taught that way, you are too. And I don't know, but I don't know about you, but I'm so tired of seeing people in the house of God say one thing out of their mouth but live a different life. You know, you say, I love God, but you can't love your fellow brothers and sisters. You know, then you get married, and you know, God said when you get married, you said that you made a vow that you would love your wife as Jesus loved the church. And then wives made a vow that they would commit themselves to their husband, right? And you know, and it isn't working that way. The church should be doing that. And if you would do that, maybe the world would change. But I see more of that in the church than I do in the world. I see more loving and compassion in the world in marriages than I do in the church. So you see what God's saying? We have compromised, we lowered the bar, and we need to raise that bar again and get the right standard of God and then walk in that right standard. Then God said, daughters of Zion, if you're going to be used by me, you must step up to the plate and you must take a stand for righteousness and you must be holy as I am holy. Who's he talking to? Women. God said, I see you and I know your hearts. I know what is real about you and I know what is false. Some of you are kidding yourselves into believing I do not see the depravity in your hearts, but I do see. I have been wooing you and wooing you, and it has been wasted time. You determined in your heart that you were right, and you made yourself believe that lie. God said, I must move on, and I must bring in the daughters of Zion that are on the streets, not knowing they are my daughters. See what God's saying about the women in the house of God? And that is so true. I really get tired of looking at women in the house of God who will not honor their husbands and love their husbands and be a wife. You know, I don't mean sex. You should clean the house. You should cook. You should wash dishes. You should be there. And that's not happening. I see more and more men taking the women's role in the house, and I see women taking their role in the house. That's not godly. And one day when you stand before God, you're going to be judged for that. Why didn't you take your proper place in your home? All right? Don't look at me like that over those masks. I see your eyes are not covered. Now he's going to talk to the men. Sons of the Most High, I have been doing the very same thing to you, and just as the daughters, you played around with the fire way too long, and now you are lost and undone. You sat in my house with sin ravaging your bodies, and you did nothing to stop the sin nature. You went through some motions, but you did not fight the good fight of faith and win. I am also moving on, and I have now gone into the highways and the byways to minister to the men on the streets that need to know I love them and that I am a true father that will never leave nor forsake them. Now let's stop there. So if you're sitting in the house of God and you're doing everything you're supposed to do, then don't put the shoe on. All right? Somebody needs to hear this message. And you might need a refresher course. I don't know. You know? But God knows. He knows exactly who's listening, and he knows exactly what you need to hear. All right, show of hands. How many women here know that you have not really been a wife 100%? Thank you, women, for being honest. All right, so how many of you men in here know that you have not carried out your husbandly duties 100%? See? So we have, men are honest, the women are honest. All right, you women, didn't put your hands up. How many of you know you weren't a good wife when you had your husband? Amen. You know, I'm sorry, but you were not 100% perfect because, you know, I get to thinking, I look back at, you know, for my husband before he died, and I realized there was times that I wasn't the wife I should have been, that I didn't understand him the way I should have understood him, that I had my feelings out on my sleeve, and therefore I wasn't going to take time to figure out why he was doing the things he was doing. I was just going to go ahead and get upset. Come on. None of you are Jesus. And you haven't died and going to heaven yet. And God's just trying to get our attention to let us know we have to be walking holy and righteous, being the husbands and wives that he's called us for to be, because people are watching you. I am watching you, and I'm not pleased at what I see. Are you listening here? God is watching you, and he's not pleased with what he sees. All right. God said, at this given time, we are on a, on a ride through the heavenlies, and we are learning all about heavenly functions. He called us to the third heaven, right? Are we up there? And if we are, then at this given time, we are on a ride through the heavenlies, and we are learning all about heavenly functions. I have been and still am teaching you of what heaven is all about. You will be bringing heaven to earth, and you will be anointed from upon high. And with this anointing, power, and authority, you are going to go forth and conquer on all sides. With this anointing, you will bring in this great harvest that I have prepared for such a time as this. You see this? That's why God is saying, come up to the third heavens. And that's why, if you're really reading what's out there, a lot of people are saying God wants us in the third heaven. But he called us in the third heaven years back. Just like this sign, you know. I forgot how long ago, how many years ago he told us that. So he was telling us, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. That day, the glory was here. And God, I even told you, God said, the glory's here, but not in all of its fullness. And that's why you see the things that you see going on in here. And that's why you feel the anointing, because the glory is here, but not in its fullest. So don't say, where's the glory? Where's the glory? It's here. All right. Then God said, you must understand that this is the last great harvest before my son Jesus returns for his bride. There has been much preparation for this time frame, and now the time is ripe. Now, I don't know when Jesus is going to come back again. You don't know either, because the Word of God says, and Jesus doesn't even know. Only God knows. But I do know that we have to be about the Father's business. We have to be doing the works we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be bringing in the harvest. We're supposed to be living holy lives and walking around in faith and not in fear. We don't know what day, hour, second that Jesus is all of a sudden going to come in the clouds and whisk us away. You who have to remain, some of you God's already, no, I don't think of being here right now, but some God has told them already they will have to stay back to bring the others through. But the ones of us are not assigned that, and thank God I'm not, we're going to go on and be in the air with the Father, all right? But if he calls me to do that, I'm going to have to do that, right? Some of you will not, I want to be here. No, you could not stand what's going to go on during the tribulation. You could not. You can't even stand it now. I keep getting that scripture, if you can't run with a horseman, you can't even deal with what's going on right now. You would definitely not be able to deal with what's going to be happening during the tribulation, because it's going to be bad. All right, God said, in this time frame, the greater works that my son Jesus spoke about will be coming to pass. The world has been changing little by little all this time. But you were so busy with the mundane things of this world that you did not notice how the enemy was pressing your back against the wall. And this isn't that what they've been doing with this pandemic? Little by little, they've been taking our privileges away from us. Now that your back is against the wall, you are looking around and wondering how you ever arrived here at this place. I will tell you how you arrived here. Lethargy was a major role in this entire scenario. In other words, we just sit back and let the government do what they want to do. The church just allowed things to go on, never questioning or demanding change. But now, church, you must stand your post and you must declare victory in every circle. You must pray like never before. I have been asking you to fast and pray. And then I asked for you to just pray. And now I am saying a mixture of fasting and prayer always works miracles in my kingdom. Now, are you not sick and tired of sitting around and allowing the government to do whatever they want to the church? I hope that you're out there praying. I didn't say go out there and start a riot, but I hope you're praying in your prayer closet like God asks us to. And as we pray, then the angels are going to come and fight our battles for us. I forgot what country it was overseas. They had that hail yesterday the size of a football. And I was looking at it this morning on the news, and it was really odd-shaped. It looked something like a star. Did you see that? There's points in each end that way, points in each end, then points in the middle. But they said, I forgot how big they said the thing was. Well, it was as big as a football, but I forgot what they said it weighed. And that's when that stuff was hitting hard. I showed a video of it, and I thought, I sure wouldn't want to be there and have one of them things hit me in the head. And they were trying to say, they were saying about how the hail forms and everything. And I'm thinking, God, was that you throwing hail on that, in that country, trying to get their attention? Because he talks about how he does it in his word, right? And they said that the hail just keeps getting bigger and bigger. And I really think God's trying to get our attention, because it was just a clanking and going on in the video I was watching. Now, God said the angelic hosts are on standby 24/7, listening intently for your orders and my approval. See, God has to approve what you speak forth before the angels will move. They are desirous to complete the works that you begin. In other words, as you speak, your faith words come up into the heavenlies and they touch my ears and my heart awakens to your petitions. I thought that was really cute. The angelic hosts are on standby 24/7, listening intently for your orders and my approval. They are desirous to complete the works that you begin. As you speak, your faith words come up into the heavenlies, and they touch my ears, and my heart awakens to your petitions. God said, I am listening continually for your words. I am not listening for your complaints. Come on now, we need to quit that. I am listening for faith words that move mountains. I am listening for the voices of the intercessors and the priests crying between the porch and the altar. And then in Joel 2:15 it says, blow the trumpet in Zion, consecrate a fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the people, consecrate the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children, even nursing infants, let the bridegroom leave his room and the bride her chamber. Between the vestibule and the altar, let the priest, the ministers of the Lord, weep and say, spare your people, O Lord, and make not your heritage a reproach, a byword among the nations. Why should they say among the peoples, where is their God? See, he's telling us in verse 17 that the priests need to be praying. You know, the preachers need to be praying. The intercessors need to be praying. And as we pray, God's going to answer those prayers. If we're praying properly, what kind of prayers? He's not listening for your complaints. He's listening for faith words that move mountains. All right? God said, I have my ears in tune daily for the prayers of the saints. You need not think I don't hear your prayers. I hear each and every word spoken from a heart laden with compassion for the lost and dying world. What kind of a heart should you have? A heart laden with compassion for this lost and dying world. God says, tune into my voice this day and be continually listening for my voice of instruction. Listen intently, for I truly am speaking in a still small voice, and I'm not going to speak above the clamor of the world. You must shun the world and pick up your cross each and every morning and go forth fully dressed in your armor, ready to meet the enemy, face on and win. And win. And win. Come on. Victory is yours at every turn. If you don't believe that, then get out of the battle, for the enemy will wipe the floor with you. How many of you understand really that we are in a battle? I mean, I know God said he's with us and he's taking care of us. That's fine. But we are in a battle and we have to come to grips with that. We can't stick our head in the sand and say, oh, well, nothing's going on around about us. We are in a battle, and that battle is for our soul. And the enemy's trying to shut the church down so that we can't win those lost that are out there. But we who know better, we are truly in the body of Christ, we know that we are already on the victory side, that we already stand in the victory circle, and it doesn't matter what the world says out there. I'm hearing God say, I'm going to shake the government, and I'm going to shake it good, and you're going to see many heads roll at this given time. And I'm hearing God say, they have despised my authority. They have come against my voice, and I am angry. I am very upset, and I'm going into the government, and I am going to make heads roll. And I don't know about, this is me speaking out, I don't know about you, but I'm sick and tired of government officials letting their jobs go to their head and doing things they shouldn't even be doing. We voted them in. We need to think about voting them out. Amen. You say, the God said, you say, Father, you are a hard taskmaster. I say, no, I am not. I am a father that loves his children, and I have watched as you kept sucking on the bottle. It would not be weaned. You know how many times has God said, well, you can go around this mountain as long as you want to. That's sucking on the bottle. You know, and he said, when you're finished going around the mountain, I'll be here to help you. All right? Well, all bottles gone. And if you can't stand the fight, then step aside and allow another true warrior to take your spot. For the battle's going to get rough, but my body of believers will survive every battle. Now, let's go back here. You said, he said, you say, Father, you are a hard taskmaster. I say, no, I am not. Then he goes on to say this. Let's read this again. I am a father that loves his children, and I've watched as you kept sucking on the bottle and would not be weaned. Well, all bottles gone. No more bottles gone. And if you can't stand the fight, if you can't stand the fact that he took your bottle away, if you can't stand the fight, then step aside and allow another true warrior to take your spot. For the battle is going to get rough, but my body of believers will survive every battle. Now, did you hear what he said? My body of believers would survive every battle, not one or two, but every battle. It doesn't matter how hard the battle is. God has already told you right now this morning, you're going to survive it. Keep your head above water. And I'm hearing God saying, just keep treading the water and just keep going. I'm helping you. I'm assisting you. I am taking this battle from you. Come on, are you a true believer or not? Are you a warrior or not? You know, I'm sitting there looking at that sign, and God says, I don't like that sign anymore. And I said, well, that would give me a new sign, but we just might have to take that down without a new sign right now because he won't give me one. But you come on now, guys. You've got to commit yourself totally, completely, 100%. And I'm hearing God say, you keep leaving the ground underneath, you get cracks in it, and then you fall through the crack. You need to get on the rock. Stay there. Get on the rock. not sink in sand. Come on. You know, come here and God said, you are a survivor, but you have to make yourself believe that. He said, you are a survivor, but the enemy's trying to make you believe you are not a survivor. And therefore, he can just toss you here and there, everywhere he wants to. Are you listening here? You're listening, but you're not comprehending. Where am I at? All right, I'm going to start here. Read my word. That's where I'm going to start. Did I not send my angelic host to fight my children's battles for them? Did I not give my children clear-cut directions? And did I not tell them how each and every battle was going to be won? Well, I am the same God today as I was in that day, and I will remain the same God throughout eternity. Come on, get in the groove, guys. If God has spoken, it's going to happen. If God has spoken, it's going to happen. You know, I was instructing little Isaiah to do something yesterday, and I said it twice. He said, just how many times do you think I have to hear that before I understand it? I said, well, honey, I was just reinforcing. He said, I heard you the first time, and I know exactly what to do. Then he said, you do that all the time. You complain and complain. He calls it complaining when I tell him more than one time. But I think that's how God feels too. How many times do I have to tell you before you understand? All right. I'm hearing God said, you want me to hit you over the head with a lightning bolt? I can do that. God's having a good time this morning. God said, I have spoken this before, but I'm saying this once again. Eye has not seen nor ear heard what I'm going to do for my children. We really don't believe that. We hear that so often. It's just like he's been saying that for years. And so just like he's been saying for years, a glory was coming. People just all of a sudden don't care if it's coming or not. They don't believe it's going to come. And the same way is, you know, you don't believe that statement anymore. I have spoken this before. I've been saying this once again. Eye has not seen nor ear heard what I'm going to do with for my children. So I said, we've got to hurry up and do this. I want to see what you're going to do. Amen. And how many, you know, your life might have been really great. God might have really been moving in your life, you know, really strong. And really, you think that he can't top whatever he's done in your life. And so, you know, but he's taking that from you. And he's trying to move you forward into something greater. And you keep looking back, sort of looking back. Boy, that was really great there, Lord. But I'm just talking about myself, all right? I'll just be honest. And he said, I don't want you going back there. I know that was great, but I have something much greater for you. And I said, God, then I want to see the greater. But I can't make him move. You know that, don't you? He will move at the right given time. So learn from me. He will not move until he's ready to move. All right, he says, come, little one, step up to the plate and join the army of heaven. Is that where I meant? Was that Brent? Come, little one, step up to the plate and join the army of heaven. Or, did you do that just now? Did you just now step up the plate and join the army in heaven? You just didn't go to the third heaven. You joined the army now. That's up there. And they're fighters. Help prepare the way for the second coming of my son, Jesus. This in itself is going to be a glorious adventure that the entire world will speak of. They will write books about this, and they will tell it to their children's children. Now, when God said that, that was so awesome. Isn't that what they did? It said about Jesus and everything. And look how they're writing books about Noah. The new world that's going to be coming after Jesus comes to take us away. They're going to be writing books about this event in history. If you really sit and think, isn't that awesome? They'll probably say, you know, Alan Farkas, you know what he did in this book, you know, and they'll be telling how he was dumb. No, but, you know, they'll tell the great exploits God did through him. I mean, you know, when God said that, and I got to think, but see, you have to think about what God's saying. Think of the impact of what he's saying. And what did he say? They will write books about this and they will tell it to their children's children. So Ezekiel 47 verse 1 said, Then he brought me back to the door of the temple, and behold, water was issuing from below the threshold of the temple toward the east, for the temple faced east. God tells me all the time, daughter, keep your eyes on the east. so the east is very important. The water was flowing down from below the south end of the threshold of the temple south of the altar. Then he brought me out by way of the north gate and led me around on the outside to the outer gate that faces toward the east, and behold, the water was trickling out on the south side. Going on eastward with a measuring line in his hand, the man measured 1,000 cubits and then led me through the water as it was ankle deep. Now let me stop here. This is what God's been doing with the body of Christ. All right. So then you were in ankle deep water at one time. Again, he measured 1,000, led me through the water, and it was knee deep. Again, he measured 1,000 and led me through the water, and it was waist deep. You sit here this morning, think, are you ankle deep, or you knee deep, or you waist deep? You know where you're at. Again, he measured 1,000. It was a river that I could not pass through, for the water had risen. It was deep enough to swim in, a river that could not be passed through, but you could swim in it. All right. And he said to me, Son of man, have you seen this? As I went back, I saw on the bank of the river very many trees on the one side and on the other. And he said to me, this water flows toward the eastern region and goes down in the Arba and enters the sea. When the water flows into the sea, the water will become fresh. And wherever the river goes, every living creature that swarms will live, and there will be very many fish, for this water goes there, that the waters of the sea may become fresh, so everything will live where the river goes. How many times has God told us that out of our belly will flow a river of living water? So everywhere you go, you should be taking that fresh water with you, and you should be bringing life to those around about you. All right? Fishermen will stand beside the sea. From it will be a place for the spreading of nets. Its fish will be of very few, many kinds, like the fish of the great sea. But its swamps and marshes will not become fresh, for they are to be left for salt. You are the fishermen. You have the nets. And you are going to catch this harvest for the Father. And God's saying, are you gleaning from his word so that I can send you forth to be a fisher of men? Verse 12 says, and on the banks on both sides of the river, there will grow all kinds of trees for food. Their leaves will not wither, nor their fruit fail, but they will bear fresh fruit every month, because the water for them flows from the sanctuary. Their fruit will be for food and their leaves for healing. And so if you look at this, it says, and on the banks on both sides of the river, there will grow all kinds of trees. If you look at the body of Christ, we're a mixture of people, right? So I'm relating us to the trees. There's all kinds of trees. Their leaves will not wither, nor their fruit fail. In other words, we're going to have good fruit. We're not going to have bad fruit. And there's nothing about us that's going to fall to the wayside. But they will bear fresh fruit every month, because the water for them flows from the sanctuary. So from the sanctuary, you know, from God's house, we, the vessels of God, who's carrying that living water, should be taking it out there to the world. All right? Their fruit will be for food and their leaves for healing. God says that his word brings life. And when you go out there with that river of living waters flowing out of you, you should be taking the word to the people, and it should be bringing them life and not death. But is that really what happens? Do you really do that? You know, it says the leaves are for healing. So are your words healing the people, or are they destroying the people? Are they doing nothing for the people? The body of Christ has been sitting idly by, just allowing the enemy to do whatever he wants to do for so long that you think that's okay. and it's not okay. And God is calling us into, I'm hearing him say, into one of his biggest warfares we will ever enter into for his kingdom. And he's saying he's trying to refresh you and to renew you and to bring you to a place of complete understanding of what your part is in the body of Christ. You know, let's look around here. Each and every one of you have a different assignment. As a look, each one of you are doing a different thing for God. But in that different thing that you're doing for God, you are reaching the multitude that the other person can't reach. I can't reach motorcycle people, Brother Alan can. I can't reach real estate people, Sister Barbara can. You see what I'm saying? Each one of us have a different assignment, even though we're all come from the same body. And we shouldn't be trying to function as somebody else's anointing. We should find out what our anointing is and then function in that anointing. And you shouldn't want to be like somebody. I mean, you can want to be like somebody else to a certain degree, but you don't lose your personality in that progress, because it's your personality that God is working through. And each one of us have, thank God, a different personality. Because as I look around, I wouldn't want two of us anywhere. Amen. Because we're all different. All right, verse 13 says, thus says the Lord God, this is the boundary by which you shall divide the land for inheritance among the 12 tribes of Israel. Joseph shall have two portions. But God gave me that scripture, so as I looked at that, I thought that could relate to the body of Christ. And God wants us, you know, God, he invited us into the river. And he said, those who wouldn't jump in then are standing on the sidelines. And whenever they find out what they missed, they're going to want in and won't be able to get in. And then God later on told me he was going to, remember, put his foot in my neck and hold me down till I drowned. So I believe every one of you in here wants to be drowned, because it's a good thing to be drowned. Because when you're drowned, everything goes away. You know, he takes all the junk out of you and all that's left is brand new life. So I'm asking you this morning, are you willing for God to drown you? Are you willing for God to stick his big foot, not a little foot, big foot on your neck and hold you down there? You just remember that testimony where the man couldn't get up and there was an angel sitting on his chest? Well, when God told me, I'm going to put my foot on your neck and hold you down till you drown, I don't care what he does. I just want all flesh going. And I just want to be a river of living water that God can move through. Now we are going, I'm hearing God say he's expanding the borders at this given time. And in other words, he's given you a larger area to be working in. So some of you are going to find yourself working, you know, outside the boundaries you've been working in. You're going to find that your borders have enlarged. And God told me that this morning too, when I was getting dressed. He said, I'm enlarging the borders. So, you know, and now I just now said it again. I forgot he said that to me. But, you know, so don't want to be in this little circle, you know, little square he has you in. He's enlarging that and expanding that. So, in other words, you're going to be able to minister to a bigger group of people, larger group of people than what you have been. But God needs you to stay steadfast in him. And don't be tossed to and fro by every wind and doctrine. I was reading a prophetic word the other day, and the lady said that we have not yet heard the sound from heaven in music. She was talking about music. She said there's still a sound from heaven that the churches have not picked up yet. And she said that God, well, she was given a prophetic word, and God said that he was bringing forth new musicians, and he was putting the songs in their hearts. And as, you know, they yielded to him 100%, then he would bring them forth with the new songs, and that would be the new sound from heaven. Now, since God said that, that doesn't mean you drop all the things you're doing right now. We don't drop all the songs we're singing right now. You have to make sure it's from God, or it'll be a new sound, all right. But it won't be the sound that God wants. It'll be a bunch of clatter, and it won't do nothing. So you can't have any pride in whenever God's using you to do, you know, giving you songs for praise and worship. And as I look at other people's songs that they do write, new songs, you know, I just look at the new songs. there's three or four people involved in that new song. Just one person doesn't get the whole song. You know, let's just say they have a band. You know, so got to give a part to this one and a part to this and a part to this one, and they all come together, and that makes the new song. So therefore, see, you can't be prideful. You don't want to be the person that said, "Well, I want to be the one that wrote the song." Then it's not going to be God's song. Are you listening? It won't be God's song. It'll be your song, and it won't go anywhere. And I'm just saying, talking about the music right now, because when I read that, it really impacted me. Of what, you know, because Satan can take a song and he can twist that thing, and you can really mess up the body of Christ. You can mess up yourself first, and then it goes into the body of Christ. Everything we do personally affects us first, and then it trickles down into the body of Christ. So you have to be very, very careful, watchful, I'll say, of what you're doing, so that it doesn't affect you first, and then you unknowingly and unwittingly rub it off on somebody else. There's so much right now that God wants to reveal from His Word, but you're going to have to be totally, completely submitted to Him. I had typed up a message, got a really good message, because God gave me two words, and I typed up a really good message, but I got it all together, worked all day yesterday, and you know how you finalize things. I thought, this isn't going to go anywhere. So then, He gave me something else to do. And it just flowed like you wouldn't believe. I'm going to use it, but it just wasn't for today. It was just God gave me that, but it wasn't for today. And see, this is what you have to know when you're supposed to use something. Or when you're supposed to say something. And you can't say, God, I just spent 5 hours researching this thing. You scrap it, put out. I said, well, this might be good for a Wednesday night service. You see what I'm saying? Then you start all over again. It's God. If God is leading God and directing you, then it's God all the way, or it isn't God at all. And, you know, you might have a good idea, a really good idea, but when you try to put it together, God says, no, that's not a good idea. Not my idea. It's not a God idea, let's put it that way. It's your idea. So I'm really encouraging each one of you to really get into the Spirit of God, you know, walk in the Spirit, be in tune to God at every given second of every given day. And I'm going to be honest with you, the morning I got up, I said, well, God, here I am. I'm picking up my cross. That's how I said, whatever it has on it, I'll bear it today. That wasn't a good attitude. How many of you done that? I said, Father, I'm sorry. I really am picking up my cross, and whatever it is, it's on, and I will truly go forth and do it in love and compassion. How may you do that kind of stuff too, you know? God, is this really on the cross today? Or did I pick up somebody else's cross? Surely you don't want me to go through this. Have you ever thought that? This day cannot be of you, Father. Oh, yes, it is. And you're learning something, whether you know it or not, you are learning something. I'm hearing God say you have to go with His learning curves. You know, learn things that you think you know and you don't know. Learn the truth of everything. And I'm hearing God also saying that He has scattered, but now He's going to gather. He's been shaking and removing. Things are not of Him, but now He's going to gather what is of Him and bring you forth totally and completely full of Him, and everything that was not of Him is totally gone. All right. Father, I truly do thank You for Your teaching this morning. I thank You, Father, that You were gracious to us. You're so long-suffering. And Father, teach us to be the same to those individuals that we run in contact with each and every day. Teach us, Father God, to understand the people the way You understand them. See them the way You see them. Teach us, Father God, to have the heart of God. A heart that's full of compassion and understanding. And Father God, when we go off course, slap us and get us back on course again, Father. Don't let us stumble and go astray. And Father God, we commit ourselves to You this day. And we thank You that as You are holy, we are becoming holy. as you are righteous, we are becoming righteous. And Father, we thank you for your glory. We thank you for your mighty move of your, among your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you will stand guard, as I've asked you to, little ones, you will see many things swiftly change around about you. But if you don't stand guard, then you're going to stumble, you're going to fall. The enemy does not give up easily. He stands his ground, and he dares you to push him off of his ground. So, children, I'm saying to you this hour, stand your ground. Face him, nose to nose. Make him move. Don't you move, not one inch. I am with you. I have undergirded you with my truth. And I am moving amongst you. And I am using you to do great and mighty exploits in this given hour. Where is the truth? The truth is in my word. The media does not know the truth. The world is full of lies and deceptions. But my word is packed full of nothing but the truth. Follow my word. Walk in my word. Hold my hand. Come higher each day with me than you were the day before. There's always a new height for you to attain in my kingdom. I'm asking each one of you to keep climbing that ladder. Keep climbing higher and higher with me. Children, do not in any way, shape, or form compromise your walk with me. Yes, the enemy is raging, and yes, he is getting furious. And yes, I tell you right now, he does want to take you totally, completely out. But children, he can only do that if you give him the opportunity to do that. If you stay firmly footed in my kingdom, I, the Lord thy God, I will protect you. I will stand beside you, and I will be your rear guard. I am that I am is on the scene, and I am is not leaving. I am for you, and I am not against you. Thank you, Father. Take my word. Let it lead you each and every day. Take my hands and let me guide you each and every day. I am a father who loves his children, and I wrap my arms around about you each and every day. I weep when you weep. I rejoice when you rejoice. I wonderfully formed you in your mother's womb, and I brought you forth for such a time as this. You are living in the right hour, in the right day. Do not question me. Just follow me. Just do my bidding. My bidding will always line up with my word. If it doesn't, then it is not me leading you. Make sure everything I ask you to do lines up with my word, children, and then walk ye in it. I am with you, and I'm not against you. I am in every trial and tribulation in your life, and I promise you this. You will not be moved as long as you stay on the rock. Thank you. Thank you. I really want you to be blessed today, really and truly, from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet. And I don't want you to allow the enemy to have any space in any one of your lives. God took a lot of care and time to bring you to the place you're at right now. Please don't allow the enemy to steal, kill, and destroy. You're dismissed in Jesus' name.